Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope, featuring our pastor, Rick Womack.
Wisdom requires something. It requires work. It requires effort. It requires active pursuit. It's not passive. I can't do this. I wish I could. I wanted to in college. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. I just want to kind of take a look at this. We're going to use this as a springboard for the next, well, we have been using it for the next few weeks. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. 4. In other words, they have a purpose for gaining wisdom and instruction. 4. Understanding words of insight. 4. Receiving instruction and words of insight. I just said that. For receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. It says in verse 4, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. And then verse 7 is not up there. I should have put that. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So there in that, the second slide, verses 4, 5, and 6, you see really three people. You see the simple and the young, and you see the wise, or what might be considered the older generation or an older generation, those who have grown. So in other words, Solomon is writing to us and he's telling us, I've got something to say to everyone, wherever you are. You bow your heads, let's pray. God, thank you that this day we can rejoice in your presence. And thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing a new thing in the heart and the life of every person. In Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. I want to ask you to imagine for a moment that you knew an armed intruder was perhaps in your neighborhood or your community, wherever you live. If you were aware of that knowledge, would you not begin to make preparation to be safe? Okay. Why do we do that? Because fear can be a very powerful motivator. So can wisdom. Under Armour is a company who has kind of recently come on the scene. Nike's been around, you know, Adidas has been around. And for this generation, for like Nate and Ben and Colby back there, they're like, Under Armour's always been around. But for the dads in the room, we're like, no, they haven't always been around. And Nike had this phrase. How many of you remember what the Nike phrase is? Under Armour, realizing that they had to compete with that, said, we got to have something that makes an appeal specifically to the men, that makes them want to wear clothes that are really just yoga pants for men. Just kidding about that. But they cling very tightly to their torsos and bodies and help them compete. And so on a very low budget, three of the early leaders decided, one of them actually had played college ball and said, when they were running for a touchdown, they would always be yelling, to the house, to the house, to the house. So they, from that, they springboarded and they came up with the slogan, protect this house. That appeals to men. There's a sense of pride, like, we'll take you down if you try to come into this house, you know. How many of you watched the Atlanta game yesterday? It's a great game. They protected the house. Can we just pray for Green Bay to win today? I'm going to look this way as I say that because I know there's somebody over here in blue already. But you know, I want to talk to you about two houses today. Okay? And I want to be very specific. Moms and dads, grandparents, single folk, I've got a word for you about two houses. There are two houses that we need to protect. We need to protect, give me your hand, baby. We need to protect this house, and we need to protect this house. And you and I are given a responsibility to protect this house. Now, one of the things about Proverbs, why are we in Proverbs? Because Proverbs gives us some understanding that the words that are written there are not just for our knowledge, they're for our application. In other words, when we read these words, they shouldn't just be, well, that sounds really cool. There should be some working out of these words. Solomon talks about it for giving prudence. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables and sayings and riddles of the wise. There's action-oriented words there. So I want us to, and this is going to, I'm going to take a hard left and then we're going to come back to Proverbs. I want us to talk about something, or I want to talk about something, and maybe you'll go home and talk about it some more, that Jesus understood very clearly. Jesus understood that the natural tendency of man is toward disunity and disrepair. Why? Because man has fallen. Genesis 3. Man can't fix himself. All the self-help books are littered with fiction. Okay, there might be some truth there in there, you know, like get to bed early, drink more water, whatever. But ultimately, that's not going to repair mankind. Okay, more water and get to bed earlier is not going to make the chief of police jobs any easier. Man needs Jesus. And God sent his son to repair mankind. So because of this tendency for disrepair and disunity and disorganization, God speaks to these things, and I want you to hear carefully these words of Jesus and James. Okay? I'm going to put them on the screen because they're so... Well, let me just put them on the screen because they're Jesus' words. Jesus is praying what I call the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17, and beginning with verse 20. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." That would be us. If you have believed in the gospel through their message, Jesus has prayed this for you. He has prayed this for you. What has he prayed? He said that all of them may be one. Why would he pray that if it wasn't a need? Am I right? That they all would be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Protect this house. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then, everybody say then. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. And to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus is praying here for the unity of the church. And he's not praying for a unity that is worked out theologically or doctrinally. He's working, or he's praying for a unity that comes together through obedience, through love, through compassion, through being the hands and feet of Christ. That's what he's praying. Now, is doctrine and theology important? Yes, it is. But I don't see Jesus praying that they all understand the five tenets of the faith of the Assemblies of God Church or whatever. I see Jesus praying that we will be one just as He and the Father is one. Just as Jesus sees what the Father is doing, He does what the Father does, instructs Him or leads Him to do. So there's a oneness, a unity of purpose. There's a unity of obedience. Well, what does Jesus think unity looks like? Verse 23. I in them, and you in me. That's what unity looks like. Verse 21. Just as you are in me, and I am in you. Right there. Verse 26. May be in them, and that I myself, the love that you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Jesus understands, and He's praying for us, church. Understand this. Jesus is praying because there is this tendency in mankind toward disrepair and toward disorganization and toward confusion. Jesus made this declaration in John several chapters earlier, in John chapter 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to disrupt, to tear apart, to rip apart. Jesus is praying that they will be one. And what is the ultimate goal of this unity? There's two things. Number one, that the world will believe the mission of Jesus. When will the world believe the mission of Jesus? When will they believe that they know that you sent me? When we're one. See, I'm talking to two houses. Okay? I don't want you to filter everything through Mountain Gap today. I want you to filter it through two filters. My house and this house. To your house, is it obvious to the world that you are a disciple of Christ? Because there's oneness in your house. The second thing is that the world will understand that God's love for believers is just as deep as His love for His Son. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them. What kind of love is that? That's a compassionate, unending love. That love is transforming. That love changes the world. James, brother of Jesus, most scholars believe wrote the book of James, half-brother. It says in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires to battle within you? Your desire, you desire, but you do not have. And James gets aggressive. So you kill. Those are strong words. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. He's talking about prayer, making an appeal to the Father. And when you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Is he saying that pleasure is wrong? Well, let's go back to the motivation of it. What's the motivation of it? Verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Division with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the Scripture says without reason that He jealously longs for the Spirit He calls to dwell in us, but He gives us more grace? This is what Scripture says out of Proverbs, by the way. God opposes the proud, but He shows favor to the humble. So choose wisely. The early church they didn't have a men's breakfast, although I'm sure they ate together and they were men. They didn't have a visitation program, but I'm sure that everywhere they went, they were visiting people because people were on their path. They didn't have an all-call system where we can remind everybody about the shower at 3 p.m. for Chelsea. Y'all don't forget. Chelsea said. Thumbs up. Hashtag no words. Speechless. They didn't have all of these things. They didn't have a sign where they could put a scripture outside or remind people about an Easter egg hunt. Do you know what the early church lived with? Do you know what made the early church multiply and grow? It wasn't because their pastor was a great orator. It wasn't because they had the coolest effects on the worship leader's voice or a drum riser that came from the stage below and rose up. It wasn't because they did an Easter egg hunt. It wasn't because they had an all-call system. You know what the early church had? They had the fear of the Lord. They feared the Lord because they had seen the transformation. They didn't have a program. They didn't have a men's Bible study on Wednesday nights or ladies' Bible study on Wednesday nights, but I'm sure they studied. See, I'm not shooting down any of those things. I'm trying to help us to see something here today. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord. What's the second thing that they had in the early church? You talked about it yesterday. They had the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord leading them. What happens when you marry the fear of the Lord with the Spirit of God? You have a people who are desperate and humble to say, God, wherever you send me, whatever you want for me, wherever I need to go, whatever I need to sacrifice, however I need to die, I fear you enough to be led by your Spirit to trust you in it. So fear the Lord and trust His wisdom. That's my message for you this week. We're going to come back to Proverbs. Why did I go through that Jesus and James part? Because there are two houses that we have to protect. We got to protect this house. 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 And we got to protect this house. Fear the Lord and get wisdom. And trust His wisdom. Trust His understanding. So going back to Proverbs 2. And we're going to do Proverbs 2 at about a 15,000 foot view. We're not going to dig in. We're just going to fly over it. Okay? How many of you have flown before? All right. So you know when you get up to 30,000 feet, every road kind of looks the same, right? Until you're coming into Atlanta or Dallas or Los Angeles or something. But every country road looks like a country road, right? We're not going to 30,000 feet. We're going to hold it down about 15,000 feet. And I'm going to put the scriptures on the screen for you. Proverbs 2. We're going to look at it from a big picture. Everybody say big picture. So I'm not going to do word study. I got no Hebrew for you this morning. Okay. If you were hoping for Hebrew, bummer. Proverbs chapter 2. First thing I want to say is fear the Lord. Get real with God. Everybody say get real with God. Solomon writes it this way. He said, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure. So Solomon is making these three really big if statements. Son, if you accept my words, if you call out for insight, verse 4, if you look for it as silver and as for hidden treasure. So he's helping us to understand
I want to come back up. Don't look at each every word. I want you to see the big picture. What he's trying to help us understand is that wisdom and fearing the Lord, it requires something of us. It's not book knowledge. It's a seeking after. It's letting the Lord teach us. I've come to the conclusion that 2016 was a great year for me to learn. 2016 was a very good teacher. I didn't like it. Right? Maybe some things you didn't like about 2016. But here's the deal. If I say, Lord, let those things that I've went through, let those things that I learned, let those things that I thought I knew, let those things that you were trying to get through to my hard head, let those things teach me. If they teach me, then I'm growing. But if I just throw up the walls and say, forget about it, go away 2016, go away teacher, go away book of the Bible that I don't like to read or chapter and verse that I don't like to read, go away from me, I don't want to see you, then we're not growing. We're not fearing the Lord. If you accept my words, do you see? Look, understand, it's just so easy. Words. He accepted it. But he had to put his hand out. He had to pay attention. He had to know that I had something to hand to him. If you accept my words, and if you not only just accept them, but you store them up. You take them, sorry to step on your toe, brother. You take them and you put them deep down inside of you. And these things are hidden in my heart. He's like, I'm never going to sit here again. You're such a grace boy. I love you, brother. Wisdom requires something. It requires work. It requires effort. It requires active pursuit. It's not passive. I can't do this. I wish I could. I wanted to in college. Biology. And I did not get along. I dated biology twice. Because the first time, she was really ugly to me. It's really bad to talk. And so, right before the end of drop ad, I said, biology, this relationship is over. Maybe we'll revisit this one day. I was failing. I was glad I dropped it. Because had I taken the class and even gotten anything close to where I was, my GPA would not have been to the point where it allowed me to become a part of the National Junior College Honor Society. Woo! I don't even know what it was called. Phi something something. Theta Kappa. Huh? Phi Delta? I don't even know. It was a bunch of three Greek words put together. And we don't use them a lot in English. So me and biology broke up. And I was so glad I broke up with biology. I had to mature a little bit. You see what? And it's the truth. Sometimes we go through hard seasons of our life. We have to come back around and revisit that season. And the reality is we're not ready for it the first time. But if we put our heart in our place where the Lord can teach us, the next time we face that season, we're ready to be taught. So next time biology and I dated, we had a 9-week relationship, I guess is what it was. I passed, that's all I know. And I never made anything other than an A or B, so I don't know what letter grade I got, but it was either an A or B. But that's the Lord. And that's me realizing, you know what? I'm not ready for this battle yet. So let me come back to this battle. And when I get there, I'm going to have your word stored up. And I'm going to be able to face it this time because I understand these if statements. I've turned my ear to wisdom. I've applied my heart to understanding. So the first thing is get real with God.
Those first four verses, they're just saying, get real with God. Learn what He's trying to teach us. What's the best thing you can ever do for your life? Be teachable. I was almost said be humble. But I think if you are teachable, you are humble. Be teachable. Robbie Garner is teachable. He's also a teacher. You didn't know I was going to call you out, did you? It's okay, Rick. You know, the moment I realized that Robbie Garner was a teacher was two or three volleyball seasons ago. And I think it was two. And Robbie, did you ever play competitive volleyball? You never were on the AVP beach tour circuit? We're all thankful for that, bro. Did you ever play college or high school volleyball? Never. The moment I realized he was a teacher, and he and I have never talked about this, is the moment that he stood back there with some of the young ladies who had never played volleyball and some of the young men. And Robbie was observing, because that's what he does. Anybody who knows Robbie knows that. He's always learning. He's always increasing in knowledge. And began to break down the mechanics of a serve. And he just began to explain. See, you got to do this, and then you got to do this. And then what you want to do is you want to have this to happen. And I don't remember what you said. But I stepped back in that moment. I was like, man, he's really a teacher. He's never played competitive volleyball. He's never played on a team. But he observed and he translated. And he took that knowledge and applied it to something, to someone that needed it and helped them. Be teachable. Get real with God and He will get real with you. Verses 5 through 8. Then, everybody say then. When you've done those other things, when you have actively pursued, when you have worked at it, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Isn't that good? And you will find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. Who gives wisdom? The Lord does. The Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. It's His. He is a shield to those who walk as blameless, whose walk is blameless, for He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. He holds success. We were singing that song, and I think it was the second song this morning about the victor's crown or being victorious or something. I just was realizing the Lord was just taking me back through 2016 and saying, look what I taught you. Look what I taught you. See how I was victorious. See how I was with you here. See how I opened your eyes to see this. See how I made you to get this. See, you're not so hard-headed. Well, yeah, you are, but I'm still teaching you. So if you get real with God, God will get real with you. And then there's some things that we can take away. We can take away an understanding of the fear of the Lord. Finding the knowledge of God. God, what are your thoughts about this situation? Protect this house. Come back to it. Protect this house. What are your thoughts about me raising our daughter, our son? What are your thoughts about adopting another child? What are your thoughts about our finances? How do I get that knowledge? Got to pursue it. Protect this house. Here's the deal. I don't pretend to know everything that's going on in your home. And this is probably going to be shocking, but maybe not. I don't pretend to know everything that's going on in this house. There's a group of young men that are meeting every week. And one guy is speaking into their life as an elder, as a voice of wisdom. I don't know everything that goes on in that meeting. I don't know what's happening in that time. Thankful, though. See, when we get real with God, God gets real with us. And He gives us this understanding of the fear of the Lord. He gives us this understanding of the knowledge of God. He gives us wisdom. He gives us knowledge. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. What else does He give? He gives knowledge. Where does it come from? His mouth. And He gives understanding. You know what else He does? He gives success for those whose walk is upright. He is the one who enables that. He guards, or He is a shield for those whose walk is blameless. There in the end of verse 7, He is a shield and He guards the course of the just and He protects the way of the faithful ones. Get real with God and He will get real with you. And then the change that you need will occur. Then the change that you need will occur. I don't want to change. Die. Because if you're not changing, you're not living. Right? I should ask the doctor this beforehand. I don't know, but you know, every so many months or weeks or days, I'm not sure, our skin is made new, right? It's always reproducing itself. And when you get a boo-boo, that's how it gets better. So we're always changing. The question is, are we changing the right thing in the right way at His time? Get real with God, and He'll get real with you, and then the change that you and I need will occur. Look at verse 9. Then, everybody say then, is that other word. We said it last time. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. You will understand what is right and just and fair. You'll understand the good path. Wisdom comes into your heart. So the first half of this message is fear the Lord. The second half is this, and it's going to be really quick. Trust His wisdom. Why do I need to trust His wisdom? Let me go back to John 10:10. I've been saying it a lot here lately, almost every week probably. Thief comes to what? All right. The thief comes to what? Jesus has come that we might have what? Life and life more abundantly. Why do we need to trust His wisdom? Why do we need to have this fear of the Lord? Why do we need to embrace this pursuit of knowledge and understanding that from His perspective, not from ours? Because there is a very real enemy who is assigned to your life and to my life to disrupt and disorganize and make this in disunity our very lives. And He will start it. Let me tell you where He's going to start it. He's not going to start it in this house. He's going to start it in that house. And let me take it a little bit. Let me drill down a little bit more. Okay? I'm going to go over here to my father-daughter combo. Before He begins to steal, kill, and destroy and divide this house, He's going to try to begin to steal, kill, and destroy this house. But before He begins to steal, kill, and destroy this house, you see this? Thank you. You are so perfect, man. This is His heart. I'll put it back where I got it. So His heart is right there. So before the Lord begins to steal, kill, and this house and destroy this house, He's going to begin to work to create disunity and disvision. That's a new word for you. That sounds like a George Bush word right there. Nuclear. So before the Lord begins to destroy this house, He begins to work on this house. But before He begins to work on that house, He begins to work on this house. This man right here. That's why we've got to protect this house. This house right here. This house right here. That's why we've got to guard our heart. Y'all feeling that? Y'all understand? Wisdom does what? Wisdom will protect you from men who are wicked. And I lost my clicker. My goodness. Toss it here, bro. Thank you. Wisdom will protect you from wicked men. What are wicked men like? Well, wisdom will help you to understand because they will save you from the ways of the wicked. And there are wicked men all around.
Some of you ladies were like, amen. And you're right. From men's. Y'all, somebody make a note of these new words I'm coming up with. From men's whose words are perverse. From men's. Did I say it again? Rewind. That's what Bishop Tony Miller does. From men whose words are perverse. And Solomon gives you a picture of what wicked men look like. He helps you to see this is what they look like. Men whose words are perverse. They left the straight path. They're walking in dark ways. They delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. There's six identifiers. If you're wondering, is somebody for me or against me? Here's a good place to start right here. Are they walking the straight path? Are they walking in the light? Do they enjoy doing wrong or do they enjoy doing right? Do they rejoice in the perverseness of evil? Are their paths crooked? Are they devious in their ways? You see, wisdom helps us to protect this house from these men's. Second thing it does is wisdom protects us from these adulterous women. Equal opportunity. That was Solomon. Wisdom will save you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her. Need to know what she's like? Here's a clue. Seductive words. What is this adulterous woman? This adulterous woman, let me throw a little comparison in here. This adulterous woman is the opposite of wisdom. Think about that for a minute. Okay? Her words are seductive. What is that really about? It's about influence. It's about influence to pull into a relationship that ought not be, whether it be physical or in any other way. Who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant that she made with God. Surely her house leads down to death. And her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. So wisdom will protect you from the adulterous woman. The third and final thing, we're going to close here in just a moment. We're going to come to the table. Is that the song we're doing? Cool. Thought so. Third thing is wisdom places us in a place of God's blessing. Verses 20 through 22. Again, big picture, 15,000 foot flyover. Thus, you will walk in the ways. You will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked, they'll be cut off. And the unfaithful will be torn from it. I ask our worship team to come. You guys stand, if you will. This is not the close of service. This is a time to respond. So unless you have to leave, it's not 12 yet. I don't mean that like condemning. I realize people have to go and they have obligations. Some people have work or whatever. So grace and peace, I get that. But here's the reality, folks. Thank you, bro. Wisdom is calling out. It actually says it in chapter 1. I think it's around verses 9 or 10. Solomon says that wisdom is calling out in the street. We haven't read that. But wisdom, if I could ever say it in this world that we live in, you know, I was thinking about 2016. If there's anything I took away from 2016, it was a better understanding of how divided we are as a nation. I don't think I'm the only one to realize that. You know, I think about people, I won't put names in there, but I think about people who have stepped into roles where the division was prevalent, and, you know, they were tasked, they were given the responsibility to bring healing. And what does that take? That takes wisdom. It takes an ability to pursue the Lord. It takes an understanding that knowledge can't just be something that comes out of a book. That's not to forsake the books. But there's got to be a growth process where I say, God, I am your student. And in this, tomorrow, Monday, is going to be a great instructor for some of us, if we'll get everything out of it that the Lord wants us to get out of it. I kind of come to this place in my own life where I just want the Lord to teach me. And well, I said it, I think, the first week. The more I know, the more I realize what I don't know. And the more I think I know, the more I realize how ignorant I really am. Without understanding is what that means, without knowledge. And so the Lord wants us all to be in that place where we say, God, you teach us. We're going through this season of life. We're in this place right now. God, you teach us. You're the instructor, and we're the students here. We're the pupils. We want to remain humble and teachable and be in that place where, God, you help us to grow in that. So I want to ask you to bow your heads just for a moment. I want to pray for us, and then these guys are going to lead us in this song. I want to ask you to hang around. Let us sing this. I will come back and close out the service. But if there's something in your life after I pray and when they begin that you just need wisdom and knowledge and understanding for, there's an area in your life where you say, Pastor Rick, I need the Lord to speak to me in this. Or perhaps the Lord has said, you know, I was trying to teach you something when you dated biology, but you weren't ready. And now you're ready. So I want you to get ready. So maybe the Lord is setting you up to go through another season of something that you went through the first time and you weren't ready. You weren't prepared for it. I don't know what that could be. I really don't have a clue. But if you need to seek the Lord, this altar, as always, is always open. And I would ask you, you can sit there and you can stand there as we sing, but I think there's something about taking a step. Okay? And this is not about a response for them or for me. And at this point, I don't even know if I'm going to come pray for you. I might, if you need me to pray for me, for you, pray for me too. If you need me to pray for you, I will pray for you. Just let me know. But this is just about you taking a step to encounter the presence of the Lord. You understand? You good? Let me pray. God, we want to meet you here. Lord, thank you for the invitation to come to the table, Lord. Thank you that you always have room for us. Thank you, Lord, that you always have room. Lord, I pray right now that every person that needs to come to the table will do that, Lord, so that they'll pursue. So, Lord, you'll pour out the knowledge, the understanding. They'll understand the fear of the Lord. They'll grow in the wisdom they need, God. Thank you, Lord. We're just your students, and we want to learn from you today.
Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.